It is time once again to be joined by Brian Ross. It's time for Real News here on Robinhood Radio. Once again, we say good morning to Brian. Brian, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, Marshall, as always.
Now, I want to start off with something that's a little out there, but once again, I have my time to look at this. I heard of the story of the four Americans kidnapped in Mexico, and then I found out that the four Americans were there, one of them really there to get cosmetic surgery. And then I just did a couple of searches and found out that more than 1 million people in this country go abroad for medical care. It's up. It used to be under 800,000 back in 2007. And when you hear that it was for cosmetic surgery and two people lost their lives, this is a growing problem, but it also sheds light on how we have the best medicine in the world, but we just don't have good delivery systems. And it forces people to do things like this.
Yeah, well, let's unpack this whole Mexican thing. First, the woman was going for a tummy tuck to try to, you know, it's a cosmetic surgery, as you say, an elective surgery, and not always covered by insurance. So if she's going to pay, it's probably cheaper in Mexico than it would be at her home. I guess she was in North Carolina. Secondly, the cartels in Mexico continue to rampage that country and make it a dangerous place for everyone all over the country, frankly, even in some of the better tourist spots that Americans go to. This can't be good for the Mexican Tourist Bureau. But these four Americans were caught in a crossfire. And amazingly, if you've seen the video of what happened there, they were dragged into this white pickup truck and driven away. The bodies of two of them were found about a half hour's drive from where the incident took place. And then the two others were released, one person now in custody.
Just a frightening story when you take a look at it, and it has so many different ramifications. Let's move back to this country for a second. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm getting tired of the stories, but I'm going to ask you your opinion on this. Is this a campaign by Fox News? Is this a campaign for them to try to get people from suing them or what? Because these releases are amazing.
Well, the documents that are filed in court now, the court down in Delaware is hearing the lawsuit brought against Fox by the Dominion Voting Machine Company. And because they're suing them and because of the way that the law works, the only chance they have is they have to prove malice, that Fox somehow knew it was true and said it anyway or said it falsely because they had something to gain. So they've done the depositions, which are really pre-trial testimony of top people at Fox. And, you know, we've seen more and more and more came out this Tuesday, and there's still more to come. A trial set for next month down in Delaware. And Fox, according to the people I know, and listen, Marshall, I've been sued probably a dozen times for various stories over the years. And the American First Amendment protects reporters. Even if you make a mistake, you've got to prove in this country that the mistake was purposeful or you should have known better. And so in this case, Fox is really on the ropes because the testimony of their top anchors, Hannity, Ingram, Carlson, all indicate they knew it was nonsense what they were saying, but they said it anyway. And even the top guy, Rupert Murdoch, he's been deposed. He's been questioned under oath. And he said, yeah, I think Laura and Sean may have gone too far.
Well, it's amazing. And like these releases are just insane. Tucker Carlson claims he hates Trump passionately. I mean, this is, have they no pride?
Well, what they have is what they apparently at the heart of this is just a very, very profitable network. And they saw after Fox was the first to call state of Arizona for Joe Biden, that they're viewership started to disappear and they were panicking. And the emails and the text messages back and forth between Murdoch and the so-called president of Fox News all indicate they were panicking about a backlash from the audience. The audience didn't like what it was hearing, even though it was truthful. And so they were saying, well, you know, we've got to somehow deal with that. We've got to fire the people who reported honestly, and that'll be something that the critics will like. And it's just amazing. I don't know if you saw the cartoon last week in the Lakeville Journal by Peter Steiner. It was a Fox board meeting, and it says, well, we've got to be able to tell bigger lies now to get our audience back.
Yeah, Steiner is absolutely amazing with his cartoons.
He's great. He's a treasure, I'll tell you.
A few words are needed when you look at, you can just look at the picture and you get the editorial on it. So
we're lucky to have him, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting back to Donald Trump, the presidential election in the Republican Party is now on in earnest. Donald Trump is once again on social media, and the attacks and the name calling are right there and present.
Well, they are. You know, he gave the speech at this conservative political action conference last week over the weekend, saying, "I'm your retribution. This is revenge politics." And the poll out this week about voters in New Hampshire found that with all the people, Haley and DeSantis and others running, even the governor of New Hampshire, Sununu, Donald Trump had 58% of the likely primary voters. 58%. The others don't really stand a chance. I mean, if you look at those numbers, and those are pretty hard numbers, and, you know, I guess the New Hampshire primary is now, what, 10 months off, but my goodness, he has a huge lead. He has to be considered right now the prohibitive leader in the Republican primary, and it's shaping up like it'll be a Trump-Biden rematch.
All right, moving on to more world news, we'll move on to Russia and Ukraine, and now in Georgia, thousands have protested this foreign agent bill that has been put before, and even Georgia now is erupting, joining the instability across Europe.
It's amazing. It really is what's happening there. You know, the thing that I thought was most striking of all the stories that came out this week about what's happening overseas is the New York Times reporting, which was matched yesterday, Wednesday morning, by the Washington Post, that it looks like pro-Ukrainian forces were behind the explosion that blew up that Nord Stream pipeline under the sea. It wasn't Russia. It was probably somebody supporting Ukraine. The U.S. intelligence doesn't pin the blame directly on the Ukrainian government, but it was meant as an attack on Russia.
Well, it's if that's a fact, and you also hear about all these drones going into Russia, a lot of them being shot down, but I mean, well, deep into Russia, it really puts the worldview of Russia's military. It's opened up some eyes all over the place.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, their incompetence is amazing, and they are now doing this human death wave combat maneuver in the town of Bakhmut, where they're just sending, you know, wave after wave, apparently former prisoners in this Wagner mercenary group, into the fire of Ukrainian troops entrenched there. And you know, they gain, you know, yards at a time, not miles or half miles, yards at a time. And the Ukrainians are holding out, and they're losing lots of men too in the battle. But their view is that by doing this, they're really diminishing the ability of Russia's best fighters to go anywhere else. They've got them pinned down there in this battle over this one little village, which has taken on an outsized importance, and neither side seems to back down. And you mentioned the Ukrainian drones into Russia and elsewhere. Deep in the New York Times story about the explosion of the Nord Stream pipeline and who was it, is some interesting reporting that the U.S. has privately again and again chastised the Ukrainian government because of these attacks inside Russia, saying they serve no military purpose at all, and they risk sort of dodging the European unity when they do that. And they've been urging Ukraine not to do that, but Ukraine, it seems, to want to send a message. You know, after all, you know, their cities are being bombarded with drones and artillery shells again and again against civilian targets. So you can understand why Ukraine would want to do it, almost like revenge, but it may not make sense from a military point of view.
All right. And boy, Russia is getting more and more back to the Cold War status. They now have a law on the books. They can label foreign agents to journalists that are covering news in Russia.
Dangerous place for journalists. There are so many dangerous places for journalists. But if you're there and they don't like what you say, I guess you're now considered an agent of espionage. It's yes, it is the Cold War. You know, I know reporters. I've only been covering stories in Russia when there was sort of a thaw. I haven't been there at the worst of times, but the others were there when it was really bad. They say, you know, They're certain their phones were tapped, their apartments were bugged, and everything they do, they were followed. Very hard to be a journalist there. It's important that we have journalists there to at least hear what the Russians have to say. But with these kind of laws, obviously, as you say, they're going into a cocoon there, a Cold War cocoon.
Well, you look at all the at all this that's going on, and then you come back into the United States and take a look at the news that comes out of Washington. But I want to once again recognize what's going on with Israel and that situation, because that is still a hotbed that is more than smoldering now, because it's this back and forth has gone on now for quite a while once again.
It was a mess before. It's a mess now, bigger mess now, maybe with Netanyahu in there. He's got his strong views. He was elected not by a majority, but a plurality. That's the way their system works. And he put together a coalition. So he's in charge and he's running roughshod there. And I don't see the diplomatic solution, and there's no military solution. Solving the Mideast peace remains intractable.
All right. Well, one last thing I'll put out there. I don't know if you saw in California that Governor Newsom has now taken and shut Walgreens out of California state business following
Right.
their abortion pill decision.
Right. They won't sell abortion pills even in states where it's legal because of their concern, I guess, about the politics of it or about being sued. So Newsom has said that the state of California would no longer do business with Walgreens, which is one of the two or three biggest pharmacy healthcare operations in the country. And, Michael Moore, the documentarian, is calling for a nationwide embargo or boycott of Walgreens. And I don't think their position is going to be, if you took a poll of most Americans, I think they would be against the Walgreens decision. But they have decided for whatever reason that's what they're going to do. So we'll see whether the boycotts and the Newsom action moves the needle on them, whether they'll make a decision. This abortion ruling by the court continues to have ramifications for women, most of all, and their health care. But beyond that, for politics, I think it will be a very big issue in 2024. Only 10% of Americans, when the polls are taken, support a full outright ban on all abortions. And that's what Republicans have talked about doing. They keep introducing bills in the House of Representatives where they have control to do just that. And I don't think they do it because they're going to be successful politically. They just feel like that's what their base wants.
Busy times we live in, Brian. Thanks for joining us once again this morning.
Always good to be with you, Marshall. See you next Thursday.